Welcome home, neighbors. This is the Kluver family from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and owners at Copper Creek Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 50 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at DVC Resale Market and Vacation Club Loans. Here's a heads-up alert. We're going to be giving away a $100 gift card to celebrate Vacation Club Loans saving the MyDVC Points community over $100,000 on their refinance program. If you're paying over 9.9% on a DVC loan, you owe it to yourself and your family to contact Debbie over at vacationclubloans.com and let them know you heard about them here on the MyDVC Points podcast. If you'd like to get in on our $100,000 celebration, head over to youtube.com/MyDVC Points, hit the subscribe button, and then turn on the notification bell because we are going to be having a celebration party over there and Debbie's going to be giving away $100 gift cards. Today's episode is pretty unique in the fact that most of us are worlders. We live on the East Coast, and Walt Disney World is our home resort, and that's what we associate with DVC. However, not all members are East Coasters and Disney Worlders. Today, we're going to meet Steve from DCL Podcast. Let's get into this episode and see how Steve leverages his membership as a West Coaster, Alani owner, cruiser, and Run Disney fan. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show today, Stephen Creasy. How are you doing today, Stephen?
Not too bad, Chad. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I am enjoying your podcast. Let's just talk about that right up front. Tell me a little bit about the DCL podcast.
I think it's kind of similar to yours in some ways, in the sense that we started about 3 years ago, Christy and I. And at the time, people just weren't talking about Disney Cruise Line. There's a lot of podcasts. Every now and then you'd hear something about Disney Cruise Line. We went on our first Disney cruise in 2014, fell in love with it. And from that point, kind of like you, Chad, I've got a teenager at home, just thinking about trying to keep up with kids and technology and all that kind of stuff. And I became a huge fan of podcasts. And I was like, you know what? I should try this out. Build a podcast talking about Disney Cruise Line, something that I loved. I had met Christy on a different show that I had done a while ago. And so she agreed to come on, and it's been 3 years of just, you know, talking to a lot of different cruisers out there about their experiences and just trying to pass that, you know, all the information, that the tips and tricks and all that type of stuff out to kind of our audience so that every time they go out and cruise, they can cruise a little bit better next time. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Oh, awesome. I know my family is looking forward to recording a show with you because we are DCL newbies, and like, I got a whole family full of newbies, and I'm hoping that my kids can ask your kids questions and we can have some fun with that one.
Our kids love Disney Cruise Line. They love the kids' clubs and stuff, and so they'd love to pass that on to your kids, that's for sure.
Oh, awesome. Now, I know DVC is really heavy on the cruise lines, you know, from talking with Derek, Marissa, and Nick, and those guys that have sold DVC on the cruise lines. So I know there's a huge presence there, and there's this rumor going around in the DVC community that the cruise ships are the best place to buy DVC. But is that what you found? Did you end up buying your contracts on a cruise ship?
Yeah, we bought one of them on the cruise ship, our first one. And as you know, I guess just to get it out there, we have two contracts at Alani. And then we just recently, because of your show, added on to Copper Creek after listening to a lot of different things. It kind of pushed us to do that. But yeah, we bought our first contract in Alani in 2014. I'm sorry. But we actually went to Alani the first year it was open before they were even done with the DVC side of the resort. And we actually met with the DVC people there and talked to them. And if we would have bought then, we would have got those magic points out of Alani that were kind of messed up and you have a much lower dues than what everybody else has.
Oh, the subsidized dues.
the subsidized dues. So we missed that, totally missed that. And there's a whole, we have a whole backstory with Alani, which if you want to get into that, we can, but that's just a magical place for us. My parents live over or spend half the year over in Hawaii. So we spent a lot of time in Hawaii, but yeah, we bought our first points on the cruise. We, like I said, we've been to Alani and then we're on our first cruise up to Alaska on the Wonder. And we're just, my wife and I were talking about it over drinks one night, and the next thing I know, we're downstairs buying our first 100-point contract with them. And you're right, they do offer usually some different incentives. We got 100 development points out of it, and I am prior military or retired military, so we actually got a, not a lot of people talk about it, but if anybody's out there that's military, they offer a discount, a military discount as well.
Oh, awesome. That's the first time I've heard of that, so... Yeah, that's great to hear that they're throwing a little extra something to the veterans out there.
Yeah, so, but they always, you know, I don't know what they're offering now, kind of like, you know, different incentives at different times, but it seems to me whenever I've talked to somebody that's bought something on the cruise, they add a little extra in than what we got when we bought our second contract, at least.
Yeah, they're not doing very many developer points these days, but what they're doing is, hey, we'll give you, like, buy 150 points and we'll give you an extra 10. So we'll write your contract for 160. You're seeing that kind of deal. It's always smoke and mirrors magic with their marketing. And my advice to members is to just do the math on what are you paying per point. Take whatever they're giving you, look at the incentives, and figure out this is what it is per point. And the reason why is sooner or later, you're going to end up going to the resale market. And the resale market is all based on price per point. It is cut and dry per point. So it makes sense to walk into the developers if you're going to buy direct and go, what's the cost per point?
Definitely.
So now tell me about Alani. You mentioned that, and I'm doing a listener meetup in June of 2021. So people still have some time to bank and borrow points, and we're promoting that. We have, I don't know, 7-8 families now signed up. So tell me about Alani, because this is on my bucket list.
Okay. So I could give you a couple different tips around the resort, I guess. But when my kids were really little, when they were first born, especially my oldest, we used to go out to, Alani's in a resort area called Ko'olina, and they have 4 man-made lagoons out there. And at the time, there was just the Marriott. It was a Marriott, not, and now it's a Four Seasons. And then they also had a Marriott, the first Marriott Vacation Club building out there. But the other two lagoons, there was nothing there. And it's almost all the beaches on around Hawaii are public. And so we would take the kids out there when they were small. There's no real waves coming in. So it was just like the perfect place to hang out. It's well manicured. It's beautiful. If you've ever seen the pictures from it. And so that's kind of how we fell in love with that place. And then when Disney announced that they were building Alani, it just kind of added to it. And once they built the resort and we spent some time kind of walking around it and then actually staying at it, that's when we kind of jumped on the idea that this is a place that we want to come back to year after year. We're kind of a weird family, Chad. We're not, my kids have never enjoyed the characters at Disney World or Disneyland when we've gone.
Not even on the cruise ships?
Not even on the cruise ships.
Because I hear the characters are abundant on cruise ships.
Yeah, they are. And I tell this on the podcast, and I don't know, maybe my family's just a little bit odd, I guess. But we've even taken them to football games, and the mascot at the football games where my wife graduated from is a big beaver, and they're just, they want nothing to do with it. So for us, getting into DVC was really not so much about Disney's per se, other than what we really liked about Disney was their service, the quality, and the kind of atmosphere they have, that family-friendly atmosphere. For us, DVC was all about where we wanted to go, and that was Alani. And living on the West Coast, I'm sure you've heard this before, it's just super easy to get over to Hawaii compared to the rest of the country. So looking at that, that's why we jumped into buying points there. And once you get there, when you guys go in 2021, you'll understand it's just a beautiful place.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I am saving and hoping and trying to pull off a grand villa while I'm there. You know, my wife's looking at me like I'm crazy. You could be getting two bedrooms. And I'm like going, yeah, I know. But that's my goal, right? It's hashtag life goal.
Yeah. Well, either way you go, you can't go wrong. Those things are beautiful. We've only stayed in the studios. We've actually stayed in the hotel rooms, which I'll throw that out there as a tip here in a sec if you want. And also, we stayed in a one-bedroom, but we've walked through the grand villas and the two-bedroom ones, and they are huge. They're massive.
Awesome. Yeah, now, I have heard that the Alani owners take up all the studios and the low-point rooms.
They do. A tip that I'll just throw out there is if you are an owner, so these are kind of hard to find. You pretty much have to be an owner, but they open up hotel rooms as well at times. And those are less than the studio points. And the reason why we like those is it actually has 2 queen size beds in it. We don't spend any time in the room. We're always down at the pool, at the beach, or traveling around Oahu. So we don't need the extra space that you get from the studio when you fold that bed back up. And the only other thing you don't get is the microwave. So for us, our kids just love having a real bed rather than sleeping on the pull-out bed, especially as they've gotten bigger.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, hopefully, I don't know, whenever that resort hits 14 years old, they'll probably refurbish it and put in the flip-down Murphy beds like we're seeing coming in at Saratoga and over at DRR these days.
Definitely. It'll be a little bit more comfortable for family staying there. But either way, the rooms are just amazing. They are all these cool little touches. The lamp, I remember the first time seeing it, they've got little Mickey Mouse holding the surfboard, which is your lamp by your bed. And it's a beautiful resort. I keep saying that, though, I think.
Did they happen to sell that lamp in the gift shop like they do at Poly?
They do not. I have never seen, the ability to buy that, because if you could, we would have one of those in our house.
Yeah, I've seen that lamp and it looks really, really cool. The Poly lamp is really cool as well, but I don't know, it's a few $100s. It's north of $200. And so I just got the little cheap plastic tiki guy that's of the same size, and we'll call it good. So being an Alani owner, one of the things I've heard about that it's kind of like a known reason why the cons of buying Alani is you never have a 11-month window at a theme park. How has that worked out for you there?
Yes, you're right. That is one of the disadvantages is trying to, and as you know, it's really gotten tight at the 7-month window sometimes, depending upon what time you want to travel. We're a big Disneyland family being on the West Coast. We love Disneyland. And as you know, trying to get in the Grand Cal at the 7-month has been hit or miss. We've been lucky 3 or 4 times, but that's because of constantly, looking. And generally, it's always a 1-bedroom there. The reason why we added onto Copper Creek is kind of what you're saying. We've become a run Disney family, my wife and I, my brother and his partner and his partner's family. We meet down there for marathon weekend. And up until this last year, it's been just about impossible to get in at the 7-month window. So that's why we added on those 50 points at Copper Creek, just to be able to get in someplace during that weekend. So that is definitely a downside.
Run Disney weekends are really tough to get into unless you own that resort. And that is the number one reason to buy in Orlando. Even if it's Saratoga Springs or Old Key West, they will sell out quite often in the studios at 11 months on those Run Disney weekends. It's insane.
We got into Saratoga this year. Last year, we couldn't get in. 2 years ago, we got into Saratoga also. And that's the only one that I've ever seen is Saratoga.
Yeah. And you're lucky to get that. You're really lucky to get that. So.
You're right. And that's being on right as the booking window opened too. So
yeah. Now, I guess if you were to go 1-bedrooms, you might have a little bit better luck there right at the 7-month mark, but they're still going to sell out too.
Yeah. And actually, Chad, that both times it's been in this coming one, it's always been in a 1-bedroom. The studios have all been gone.
Yeah. I mean, we just I just found cheap airfare to get down there for the Run Disney event in January, which I didn't know it was Run Disney till I fully committed in, but there was nothing to be had in DVC. Like, the bungalows are sold out. Okay.
When the bungalows are sold out, it's a busy weekend.
When the bungalows are sold out, it's going to be nutso in Walt Disney World.
Definitely.
But at the same time, I looked at it and I went, what better time to go walking through the park with my DVC point shirts on?
You need to make some dry fit shirts and we'll run with them in the race.
Hey, don't tempt me, man. Don't tempt me.
So are you going to run the race too, or are you just going down there for that weekend?
I ran two. This came up in the last podcast interview as well. I ran 2 Run Disney events all at the same time. My first and my last. Okay. I just look at it like you pay so much to go to Disney, and then to have your whole vacation schedule revolve around, okay, I have to go to bed at 9 o'clock because 3 a.m. is coming for me to get on that bus. It just seemed like so much of my vacation was just wrapped up around the run event that I'd rather go run someplace else and go do Disney at Disney. But that was just me.
No, I totally understand that. It is tough getting up. And when you're up there, I think misery loves company. So just because there's so many people running, it makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, it does. And I have to say, the Run Disney people out there, I don't want to offend them because they are some of the coolest Disney fans that I know. I mean, they're pretty accepting, gracious people for out of shape old guys like me to come run with them.
You won't find a more positive event. I've run 3 different marathons besides the Walt Disney World ones. And by far, you're running along and people want to talk to you. They want to support you. And then all the people out cheering you along the course, they've got some great signs. I love the different signs that they have out there. And it just a total positive event. You can't, if you ever want to try and run it all and you can make it happen through Run Disney, I highly recommend it.
You know, it's funny, back before I really started getting into Disney this last time around and I was losing some weight, I was talking with this medical professional about what could I do if I were to set a goal to start running. And out of the clear blue, they were like, if you're going to run, the best place to go is Disney because it's fun. It's magical. It's got really slow times. You don't have to worry about keeping pace or as much at Disney as you do other races, and you'll have a blast. So there you go, right?
Exactly.
Oh, so tell me a little bit more about your family here, Stephen. So who is going to Disney and these cruises with you?
My family is made up of my wife, who grew up in Southern California and then kind of migrated up to Oregon. And so she is probably the instigator, the Disney kind of craziness, especially Disneyland. She kind of grew up going there on her weekends. And then I have two sons. One is 13 and another one that's 9. So two boys. And I think we started, I guess, the first time we went to Disneyland and really kind of fell in love with Disney. I think a lot of people have this, like, where they're not sure they want to go, all the kind of planning that goes into it and everything else. But we went in 2013, and that was probably the funnest vacation we took as a family. And that's kind of what took us down our Disney road, was just, you know, being in an environment with other families where your kids could be loud, and they weren't generally annoying too many other families because the other families are loud too. But I remember going down there, and my youngest at the time was, I got to think about this, 6. So he was like 3 going on 4. And we're not rope droppers, but we got there about 9 o'clock in the morning, and he lasted until 10 o'clock at night. And we did not have any problems with him at all. And he loved it. And from that, we just haven't looked back.
Really? Okay. So it was a trip to Disneyland that kind of re-sparked this thing for you. And then did that lead into Disney Cruise Line?
Yeah, that kind of led into, well, the Disney Cruise Line kind of came about because my parents had always wanted to go to Alaska. And I mean, I'll throw it out there. I'm a pilot. My wife is a flight attendant. So we travel up and down the West Coast. At the time, we used to fly up to Alaska quite a bit. And so the one thing that my wife did not want to do is go on an Alaska cruise with some older families or older people who this is their bucket list once in a lifetime. And then here's our kids, you know, just being loud and crazy at night or at the dinner table. And so she kind of put her foot down and said, the only way we're going to do this is if we go on Disney Cruise Line. And my parents were like, sign me up as long as we get to go. And that's how we ended up. And that's how we ended up on DCL. Had just a blast, and we haven't looked back since.
That's funny because my dad's bucket list item is a Alaska cruise as well. And he's in that age category where it's like, okay, Dad, we're going to have to take you. But if we take you, it's going to be a Disney Cruise Line. Sorry, grab your wallet. Okay.
I know. Yeah, that's for sure. Alaska's gotten expensive over the last couple of years. But I will say this, though, you know, just traveling up through Alaska, the average age over, I don't want to date myself, but the average age has kind of dropped a bit. They're definitely seeing a lot more families going up there and younger people going up to Alaska and experience it. It's not quite the elder generation that it used to be.
Oh, gotcha. Now, you mentioned an interesting fact. Do you and your wife both work for the same airline?
We work for Alaska Airlines.
Okay. So I was going to say that would be like killer flight benefits if you had two different airlines you could use the employee standby seats on. But
I know. I wish we had one of us either worked for Delta or United, so we could do some of the international traveling. But it works out, you know, pretty good for us as well.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know Robert Campbell, who listens to us, works for an airline as well. And every time I turn around, he's popping up at an event. I'm going, we met him at Indy. We're meeting him at Grand Cal. And every time I have an event, it's like he's there. And I'm going, I guess it must be nice being a pilot. But I can't say much because I'm there too. But at least I drove to Indy. Perks of the job.
Definitely one of the perks. So
yeah. So one of my questions is, do you drive or fly? And I have to assume it's fly, correct?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, living in Oregon, it's a 2-day drive down to Disneyland, and obviously it's a long paddle to get over to Hawaii and even a longer slog to get down to Walt Disney World. So pretty much we fly.
Yeah, you fly everywhere. Well, speaking of that, let's go through the rest of the rapid fires just for fun. Okay.
Okay.
Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Dole Whip. And Chad, when you get over to Hawaii, you're going to have to go over to the Dole Plantation, to the mecca of Dole Whip, or where it all started, and make sure you get a Dole Whip there as well.
Yeah, I will. You know what? Seeing that you're a pilot and you own Alani, I'm going to have to recruit you to that trip. So
it's on my calendar, and we're out of points for 2020, but we get some more in 2021. So we're looking at that one.
Yeah, come on over, man. Come on over. Well, speaking of trips together, I'm also doing this. Yeah, you know, we threw it out there for fun. Andrew and I were going to do this cruise together, and then he ended up not being able to make it. But help me on the dates here, Stephen. It's the August 10th through 14th Disney Dream this summer in 2020.
Yeah, it's a 4-day. And that's a great itinerary for the Dream, I think. Now, we're actually going on the Dream in 2 days. So I have not been on the Dream. That's the last ship we haven't been on. But with the 4-day, you go to Nassau the first day. Well, you embark the first day. Second day, you're in Nassau. The next day, you're in Castaway Key. And the best part about this is we get a sea day before we go back. And you're going to love that sea day to be able to relax rather than, you know, having to get off that boat right after going to Castaway Key.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my family is looking forward to it. And if memory serves me right, your family is going to be there too, right?
We are. And it was just out of the blue I think I saw it on your guys' Facebook page and I was like, hey, I think that's the same time we're going. And so I reached out to you and I said, hey, let's do a podcast or something. Let's get you on the podcast. And we're hoping to do that. We will do that at some point, Chad, and talk about that cruise coming up.
Yeah. So we'll just open it up to both of our listener groups to come join us on this cruise. And can't say we'll do an awful lot with everybody, but we could at least, you know, meet for a game of shuffleboard or something.
Definitely. Maybe do a little trivia or something like that and see how that goes.
Yeah, we can definitely find some time to meet together and hang out or just go to the bar and have a drink or a beer.
Definitely.
Now, is there Dole Whips on the cruise ship?
No.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
They do. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever seen Dole Whips. So they recycle the ice cream machines on the 7-day cruises. So they kind of on the 3-day cruises and the shorter cruises, you're going to have your standard chocolate and vanilla and then the swirl. But I think it's like day 5. Don't hold me to that. I think it's like on day 5 where they'll change it up to sometimes they have banana and they've got a couple other flavors that they put out there. But I've never seen Dole Whip.
How can they call this a Disney cruise with no Dole Whip, Stephen? Like, this is just like not right. OK,
yeah, I think we need to petition them for it.
I'm like I'm at a loss of words. OK, you call this thing a Disney cruise and there's no Dole Whip. Like, what's up with that?
I don't know. Well, you know what? When we get on the boat here in 2 days, I will make sure that I talk to the crew there and put in a request for next summer.
Hey, you know some people, so I wouldn't be surprised if we can't make something happen there.
We'll give it our best shot.
Sounds perfect. Okay, so back to our questions then. Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
Churro.
Poncho or umbrella?
Poncho.
Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Rock a t-shirt, and I love the resort t-shirts when they come out with them.
Oh, awesome. And then your favorite park?
Favorite park, and we're kind of weird contrarians. It's California Adventure.
My man, it's my favorite as well.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Love Cars Land. Our kids love the Incredicoaster. I think that's probably like the perfect roller coaster. And the Mission Breakout, you know, with the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's a super fun ride with the music. And just, yeah, we love California Adventure.
Yeah, Grizzly Peak. Soaring, it's like all the best stuff is there. And now we get Avengers Campus coming soon.
Yeah.
If it wasn't your guys' favorite part, wait till Avengers Campus comes in and you can make that virtual trip to Wakanda.
Oh, I can't wait to see what that's all about when they finally release that.
So speaking of that, what would be your favorite attraction?
Favorite attraction by far is Radiator Springs Racers.
Oh, it's definitely up there. It's hard to beat. It is hard to beat. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you get the little speed at the end and all the theming in between. That's just a fun attraction.
And the music, right? I love the music. It's called McQueen and Sally. I found it on iTunes and now it's like in one of my playlists. What's the best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
Okay, I'm gonna give you two here, I think. The first, but they're really kind of the same place. I've had a lot of layovers in Orlando. I get to fly down there. So I spent a lot of time. I used to be an annual pass holder there. And my favorite place by far around the Walt Disney World Resort is Geyser Point.
Awesome. Yeah, you can't beat Geyser Point. And as a fellow Copper Creek owners, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I love the views of the water, being able to watch the boats go back and forth. They've got great food there and a good selection of beverages.
Yeah, it's just a super chill zen place. And even if it's raining, you can still get under that patio and still just enjoy yourself.
And I've been there in the summer and I don't know what it is, but I don't even feel like it's that hot when you're out there in the summer, to be completely honest. But some people might disagree with that one, but I love it year round out there. I can't get enough of sitting out there watching the boats go back and forth. And I will throw this out there that at the Grand Cal, they opened up, my wife and I were down there in August, they opened up their Craftsman Bar, I believe. It's out by the pool. And it's very similar to Geyser Point. You just don't have the view of the water, but that's a great bar too.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, because when I was there in April, it was all walled off and still being built.
Yeah, you're going to love it, Chad.
Awesome. This question comes from my Patreon group, and it's our VIP Producers Club question. Do you have a single tip for maximizing the value out of your DVC membership?
I think there's a lot of different ways to look at maximizing. And initially, when you say that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, how do I get to stay there the longest? Or how can I, you know, stretch my points the longest? But I think the way that we kind of look at it and the way we look at maxing it is maybe a little bit different, in the sense that enjoy all the experiences out there that you can get. One of the reasons, and you're going to maybe laugh at this one, but one of the reasons why we really wanted to buy into DVC too was to stay at Hilton Head. We're looking at all the different places you could go, and we're finally going to go there next year for spring break. And I can't be more excited. And I just think that there's, when you think about maximizing, you know, maybe look at it that way too, as far as maximizing the different experiences. There's so many different ones out there, from Walt Disney World to Alani. And I know there's some different ways to use them for the cruise line that, you know, may do or don't make sense, but maybe look at it that way too.
That's a value question. And it's not just about finances or the most nights. Some people value that, but other people value, what I'm hearing from you, as a variety of experiences.
I mean, just all the different places we've stayed. We've been lucky to stay at Saratoga Springs, I guess, and Animal Kingdom. And we stayed at Copper Creek once now in Walt Disney World. And each one of those, and you know this, Chad, are, I mean, the resorts are amazing. And they come with different experiences. And we've just enjoyed each and every one of them. And so don't be afraid to, you know, maybe break away from the norm. That's one of the things that we hear a lot from Disney Cruise Line. A lot of people start from our shows. They'll start with that 3 or 4 night cruise out of Port Canaveral. And they do that a couple times. And they just get comfortable with it because they know it. And it's like, okay, this is what I do when I go to Port Canaveral. But don't be afraid to, you know, venture out to Alaska or venture over to Europe if it's in your budget and you can do it. Or even out of New York, those cruises, they go down to the Bermuda. That's the only time you can get Bermuda on DCL. So I guess my point in all of this is just saying, don't be afraid to maybe break out of your shell a little bit and just maximize all those different experiences you can with DVC.
Yeah, variety. I remember a post that I was interacting with Nick Cotton from DVC Resale Market. And I don't know, some article came out that said, you know, here's the 5 reasons to own at Old Key West and 2 not to. And I looked at it and I was like, there's really no good reasons not to, in my opinion.
Exactly.
But I looked at it, and my critique of the article was, he's talking about owning there, but his rationales are about staying there. Uh-huh. And so I got into this discussion with Nick, and Nick was saying, Chad, look, most people buy a DVC contract at a resort and stay there. And I was like, no, you're kidding me. The world is an oyster, right? I mean, you know, see what you're going to find. Okay, try them all out. Yeah, I did a post in the My DVC Points community group, and like 70% of the people that responded to that, and it was a couple hundred people, 70% of them said, yeah, I pretty much just stay at my home resort.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's shocking, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, man, there is so much beautiful stuff about every single resort and so much to just take in and consume and compare and contrast. Well, that's what makes this show fun, but I don't know. It's just me, okay? I look forward to knocking them all out.
Definitely. I can't wait to. I know you're going to be staying at the Riviera, right?
Yes, this January for that Run Disney weekend.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts about that.
I can't wait either, because it's January. It's not even open a full month. It opens on December 16th and January 10th, we're checking in. So that was a big motivating factor. And then that 35% discount that they threw out there, when I looked at that and I went, okay, well, it's going to be X amount of points. And it sold out, but I can just go rent those points and pretty much get the most of it covered from the cash price because of the discount.
That's perfect.
And when I figured that out, I was like, okay, I can at least do this, get there, try it, and see what all the hubbub is about. And really, I've got really great high expectations. I'm really looking forward to that, because I really believe that resort is going to be a spectacular gem in the DVC community.
I agree. From just the pictures that we've seen from it and everything online, it looks like it's, and I love that era. I love the idea of the, you know, the French and the Italian Riviera, to be honest, anyway. So being able to stay at a resort like that at Disney, just, boy, you can't get much better than that.
I'm telling you, Shannon, my co-host from the live, was just there and went through the gondolas last weekend. And we've been hearing back from a lot of people that the gondolas are just magical. And when she said she rated this resort higher than Boardwalk, which was her previous favorite, I was like, no, that can't be the case. And sure enough, Well, her argument was, I can get to Epcot or I can get to Hollywood Studios, lickety-split with no walking. And at the end of the day, when you've got a stroller and you're tired, it's a long push back from Hollywood Studios to Boardwalk or from Epcot to Boardwalk. And here, I'm just a real quick gondola ride between them both.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I can't argue with that logic.
No, not at all.
I think you've mentioned this before. I didn't get to the formal questions, but I've heard Animal Kingdom, Saratoga, Copper Creek, and Alani. Has there been any place else that you've stayed?
The Grand Cal.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it. Those are all the resorts we've stayed at so far. So we got a lot more to do at Walt Disney World, obviously. And we're looking forward to the Hilton Head ones. And, you know, I never really had a huge desire to stay at Vero Beach until listening to your shows and learning all about what Vero Beach entails and everything like that. So that's high on our list, too.
I haven't stayed there yet either, but I keep hearing from so many people that are about this. And then Derek from DVC Resale Market sends me this IM the other day with his feet kicked up on the beach. And he's going, this is what I love about Vero. It's 11 a.m. and I'm checked in and, you know, my toes are in the sand kind of a thing. And I was like, okay, Derek, you know, if you send me this, you're obligated to come in and do the Vero show. Yeah, that one will be coming out soon. So as soon as I can get a hold of him and get that thing recorded, we're going to do a Vero show just to like either solve it or intensify it even more. Okay.
I think you talked about you're going to try and stay there maybe after the cruise. And I've heard that that's a great thing to do, too, as far as. It's hard. I mean, the Tragical Express, you know, getting off the cruise that last day is kind of the same thing where you want it to just kind of go on a little bit longer. So if you can extend that extra day and kind of relax a little bit before you head back to Michigan, I think that's going to be a perfect thing to do.
Yeah. So let me get your take on this then. Right now, before the cruise, a couple days beforehand, I've got Riviera booked through through a point exchange with a listener who lives right around the corner from me by odd circumstance. But now that I've got my Riviera booked, I can probably move to any place else. Okay. So would you recommend, and this is going to be a non-park summer. Okay. Because we took our annual pass money and rolled it into the cruise fund.
Okay.
Okay. So no parks for anybody. I mean, my annual pass will be up, but the rest of the families will be down. But would you recommend Vero before the cruise, after the cruise? And I'm trying to sneak Hilton Head in there too, if the 7 month window lines up.
I think I would do Vero after the cruise and fly down to Disney, get your Disney fix, you know, in the Walt Disney World bubble. You know, last time we were there in spring break, we did a cruise and my kids had never been on the monorail before. That was the time we stayed at Copper Creek. So we got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Child abuse.
I know. Right? Total child abuse. So we got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, got to the resort, took the boat over to the Contemporary, did the monorail loop, got some food, and then went up to Top of the World Lounge to watch the fireworks. And that was just a great, but busy day. I think, and you'll find this after the cruise, even you're going to be tired after 4 days, and just to be able to go down to Vero Beach, relax, put your feet in the sand and not think about, once you get that dizzy bubble, Chad, you know, you're going to want to go and do things just to be able to kick back and relax that day. I think you're going to enjoy that more.
Okay. So post cruise to Vero, and then do you recommend, like, we're thinking Saratoga or Old Key West, someplace with cheap points right before the cruise. So that we've got an Orlando crash pad for a night or two before the cruise. So at least we're in Orlando and we don't have to worry about flights and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely fly in at least a day before the cruise. You don't want to fly in the day of the cruise. That can cause you a lot of problems. But just make sure you fly in early in the morning if it's in the summer, or make sure you come in a day or a couple days before because of thunderstorms in the summer. You don't want to get mixed up with that. But yeah, definitely Saratoga Springs, you know, cheap points. You can walk over to Disney Springs, get some food, do everything that there is around there. And if you want to do something beyond that, obviously you can go and do that. If you're not going to do the parks, you know, jump up to the monorail, loop it around, watch the fireworks if you want to stay up that late.
Yeah, we're even thinking about calling up Give Kids the World and seeing if, you know, two out of the three of us between, because my little ones aren't old enough to go down there and volunteer. But my wife, myself, and my oldest daughter are old enough. So I think two out of the three of us are going to go try to do a volunteer day at Give Kids the World.
Oh, that would be great, Chad.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goals, the hopes, the plans. We'll just have to see how the 7 month window works out for me, because I'm not really used to not having an 11 month window. I mean, I own like too many resorts. And I own where I want to stay, and I own some network points at Saratoga. So for me to be planning this summer and going, oh, it's all, you know, it all hinges on the 7 month window is kind of odd, but
See, Chad, this is all about maxing your experiences. It's taking you out of that comfort zone. You got your booking at the 7-month window. You're not sure how it's all going to work. You're going on this crazy cruise. You haven't done that before. And then you're going to Vero Beach. So this is awesome. This is maximizing your DVC points.
Yeah, this is, right? According to your value of trying things new, buddy, I'm maximizing here, right? We're getting the most out of this membership. In listening to you talk, you've had a few resorts that you've stayed at. But now we get to have some fun with the Tinkerbell question, right? If Tinkerbell were to put 2,000 magical one-time use points into your account that you could book anything or use any way possible for DVC points, and it was guaranteed availability, how would you spend these points?
Well, I've never looked at the charts before and what it would cost, but I think what we would do is we've got a family that doesn't get to travel a lot, and I think that we would take them. They have not been out of the country yet, and I would like, but they want to go somewhere. I think we would take them over to Tokyo Disneyland and go see Tokyo Disney Sea and just do it up big. Go over there, get a big, you know, one of those, I'm assuming they have one of those large rooms over there. What do they call it? I can't even say it now. The one you're looking for at Alani.
The Grand Villa type deal?
Yeah, the Grand Villa. Get a big Grand Villa over there at the Disneyland Hotel and then spend some time seeing Tokyo in Tokyo Disneyland, and then also Tokyo Disney Sea, which is the park that I think I really want to go to the most.
Yeah, I know there's a huge one over there because Brad Coates in episode 46 mentioned getting this killer suite that looks essentially right down Main Street.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Over there at Disneyland Tokyo. Here's what I'm afraid of in going to Tokyo Sea is that it'll knock California Adventure off the number one spot, and I won't be able to afford to keep going back there. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Because everybody I know that has been there ranks at number one.
Oh, I know. I mean, just the different attractions that they have there, the one that goes under the bottom of the earth, I would love to see that one. And then just the different theming from everything that I've heard from over there, too. So I think that's what we would do. We would use our points over there. And anything left over, we'd come back to Disneyland and spend a couple days at Grand Cal and then head back home. There'd probably be some left over, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, you know, you can figure that out. Okay, there's going to be some left over, but I mean, 2,000 points when he did that analysis, and I mean, he did it the research like a travel planner pro you would expect. Okay, and he had it to like 600 and some odd points there, if memory serves me correct. So we've got some wiggle room.
Well, then we're going to use the rest for spring break, maybe, or something. I don't know, and see if we can bring somebody else with us on spring break down to Walt Disney World.
Oh, awesome! Now, are there any like DVC bucket list items that you would want to knock out, like tree houses, bungalows, cabins?
I think I'd really like to stay in those cabins at Copper Creek. I mean, I've heard the differences, I guess, between like the bungalows and the Poly, and those are amazing with the views of, you know, the castle and the Magic Kingdom and everything like that. But there's something about those, you know, riding, I've been on the boat where you go back and forth and you can see those cabins. There's something about those that just look like they'd be magical to stay in. So I think that's probably our bucket list one.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list as well. And yeah, that one will happen one of these years, but I got to quit this like Grand Villa dreaming at Alani to bank up some points for that one. So we'll knock it out. Now, how has your vacations changed since you've joined DVC?
I think the biggest way that they've changed is we were always planning on going on vacations. And maybe you hear this a lot in the sense that, I mean, we did vacations cheap as you could to maximize as many as we could. And I think with DVC now, it's really, we've never stayed in places as nice as we've been able to stay in, I guess. So I'm not sure if that's a really great answer or not, but it's done that. It's definitely up to kind of the
places
that
we stayed
at.
Yeah, believe it or not, Stephen, that's a real common thing that we hear from people is, you know, I would never be able to stay at the Poly without DVC. And now now I'm rolling in all of these deluxe villas and deluxe resorts. And before, if I stayed on property, I was a value player. And, you know, I think Andrew wanted me to come up with a T-shirt that says, if you're glad that you never have to stay at All Stars again, thank your guide. And I was like, OK, that's just a little snarky, but a little too snarky for me to put on a T-shirt. But I kind of get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to bash the All Stars because there's a place for them, too. So,
yeah, there absolutely positively is. So,
yeah. But I would say that, and just the idea, and you hear this, I guess, from your show, from a lot of people too, as well, is like, you don't feel like you used to, where you have to maximize every second whenever you do something, because you know you're going to come, and your son says it the best, right? You know, you're going to come back. And so it's made it a lot more relaxing. And I think in some ways, we've started to look beyond like what's in the parks. Like when we've gone down to even like Disneyland and stuff like that, we've looked at, you know, we spent 2 days in the Grand Cal where we went to the parks one day, but then we actually went over to the beach the second day. And so, because we know eventually at some point we're going to come back. So I think it's kind of expanded our horizons a little bit.
That's a fair answer. And we hear that quite a bit. Have you got to go to any of the Moonlight Magic events or any of the special member exclusive events?
No, unfortunately not, because just with the nature of my job, I can't, it's hard to be able to block those off in time. So we just haven't been able to.
Yeah, you really kind of have to plan those things out. And then it's just like you're trying to, well, sneak onto a plane that has an open seat to get down there. So,
yeah, right. And then, I don't know, it just seems like, you know how kids get busy, and our kids are both super busy with different things, and trying to fit that in sometimes, it's like, it's taking a backseat. But I would love to do, I'd love to do one at DCA, but I'd also like to do one maybe over at like the Magic Kingdom or something.
Yeah, DCA is a world of fun. I've not done one at Magic Kingdom yet, but I've done like an after dark party there, which is essentially like a Moonlight Magic, but you just had to pay for it.
Right. And that's the ones with the low crowds too, right?
Back in the time, it was medium crowds. From what I'm hearing now, these hard ticket events, they're still selling an awful lot of tickets on.
Okay. It's gotten a little bit busier than what they originally were. Yeah,
like the Halloween parties people say are just like packed crazy.
I will say this, Chad. I have been to the Halloween party at Walt Disney World. And I've been to the, we've, as a family, we went to the one at Disneyland. And I think they limit in Disneyland the number of people there. It seemed like there's a lot less people. It was a lot less crowded than the time I went to Walt Disney World.
I know they had one going on when I was at Disneyland last fall. And by the looks of the parking lot got sold out at Disneyland.
Okay. Well, don't hold me to that then.
Yeah, it's still pretty crazy over there. And because I had an annual pass for Disneyland at the time, I hung out in the park for like the first hour or two of it, kind of in the back, and then they realized they didn't have a band and kind of shooed me. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I didn't pay for this party, so I'm not going to stick around and take something that I didn't pay for. But I did take my time eating at the saloon back there and waited till I kind of got shooed. But
you maximized your value.
Yeah, I absolutely positively did. Maximized the value out of that AP.
Exactly.
And then I just hopped across the walkway over into DCA. So it was all good.
And that's the beauty of Disneyland is you can just go back and forth so easily.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love about Disneyland is it's the schlep factor is what I call it. Okay. Yes. You go to Disneyland, you got to schlep through LA traffic to get into the bubble. But once you're in the bubble, everything is nice and tight. Okay. Now, Orlando, the exact opposite is true. It is no problem to get a flight into Orlando. It is no problem to get the Magical Express over from the airport into the bubble. However, once you get in that massive, ginormous bubble over there, the schlep factor is real to get from resort to parks to Disney Springs. You got to do some schlepping over there.
You got to have a plan.
Yeah, for sure. So now you had a couple more tips on Alani you wanted to bring in, right?
Yeah, for people, if you're going to Alani, a couple things I'll just throw out there. One of the experiences they talk about, or a lot of people want to do a luau. And believe it or not, one of the best luaus in Oahu is like right next door to Alani, and it's called Paradise Cove Luau. But I will say that I've been to both. And it used to be that Alani used to have a free show, and it had nothing to do with food or whatnot. But they had just a free show, and it had a lot of the Disney characters in it. But the new luau that they've been running for over a year now, it's not cheap. I will definitely say that, but it's on par with Paradise Cove is the, I mean, I'm going to butcher it, but Ka'ava luau. It's amazing. The food is really good. There's kid friendly food too. So don't worry about your kids are going to find something to eat. They have, if you get there early ahead of time, they got all these like crafts that the kids can do. They can make fish out of palm trees and they do some face painting, like the Maori face painting for the kids. And then the show is just amazing. It's a great story. They've got some great, great singers and dancers in it. And it includes the fire dancing and the drumming. And it's all about how the Polynesians came to, and one of the towers is called Eva. And it's called Eva because it looks towards the Eva Plain, which is kind of the flat area behind Ko'olina and Alani. And it's all about how the Polynesians came to Eva. So if a luau is in your bucket list and you really want to do it, you will not go wrong by doing the one at Alani. It does book up sometimes, so you can book that ahead of time.
Yeah, that's something that we're going to do there on our DVC member meetup. And when we go to Alani, is book the luau right there at Alani one night. and try to get everybody to come do it together. And because it looks like the tables for it are like picnic table style.
Yeah, they are. They're big picnic tables. And there's you can pay extra for a VIP experience, which if you want to do that, you can. It gets you into the grounds a little bit earlier. You don't have to stand in this little bit longer line to get into it. And then your table is closer to the stage itself. But if price is a factor, you don't want to pay that. You don't get a bad view wherever you are. But yeah, there's big open tables. And you know what? Now I can't remember if they assign you a seat or not. But you might look into that ahead of time if you're going to try and get a whole group to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, given that we're all staying there, it should be pretty easy to find a time and coordinate and a meetup.
Right, right. A couple other things I'll throw out there is the food's expensive at Alani, but there's a Costco and a Target two stops before. And being a DVC member, if you get a rental car, that's the easiest way to get from the airport. And generally in Hawaii, you can get a pretty decent rate on a rental car for the week, and you get to park there for free still. They haven't changed that yet, but you can stop at Costco or Target ahead of time to bring food in. And one of the things that we've done quite a bit, believe it or not, is back behind Auntie's Beach House, which is the kids club. They have, like they do at all the resorts in Walt Disney World and whatnot, but they have grills. And we have actually grilled up some fish and chicken and burgers down there when we stayed in the one bedroom and brought it up there. And that's been just a great way to save a little bit of money when you go to Alani as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard those grocery stores nearby are the way to go. And everybody says grab your wallet if you're going to eat on property there at the resort.
A lot of locals have bought into Alani there. You'll see them come rolling in Friday night or Friday afternoon, and they've got those huge coolers, like, you know, like when you go to a football game or something like that, that people bring when they're tailgating, and it's just filled with food and their water for the weekend. And what they do is they combine their points and they'll get that grand villa for the weekend and hang out there for both nights. So yeah, that's the best way to do it, is if you want to save a little bit of money.
Oh, really? So weekend nights are going to be harder to book then, right?
Yeah, it'll definitely be generally busier on the weekends. The only time we've ever found Alani to be not very busy was we went there last October, and it was awesome. You never had a problem getting a place around the pool. The resort was, it really felt, I don't want to, it didn't feel empty, but that's the only time I haven't seen it not busy. In the summertime, it's super busy, and definitely on the weekends, it's busier than during the week.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So yeah, I am looking forward to that one as well. And so, Stephen, why don't we end the show here? And let's cruise over into your wheelhouse, if you can pardon my bad pun there.
I love it.
Advice for people on DCL. If you had a summary advice, because I know there's some people that listen to the show that are looking at this going, well, I'm interested in Disney Cruise Line, but I just haven't put my toes into the water, so to speak. So what's some of the couple minutes of summary advice on DCL?
Two big things. Do your research. It's just like going to the parks. Do your research ahead of time as far as, you know, where you want to go and kind of what's available on the different cruises. The best way to save money on it, if you haven't been on one before, is try and book it at the opening window. So usually it comes out about a year and a half prior. I know some people can't plan that far out, but if you're not a Florida resident rate, there's some Florida residency rates that you can get some cheaper deals on. But for the rest of us that don't live in Florida, you know, if you can book it at that 16, am I doing my math right? About a year and a half out, that's when you're going to get your best rates as far as saving money on it. And then I'm going to plug another website, Scott Sanders at the DCL blog. He has what's called personal navigators. And what you get on board is each day there's kind of a little paper that they'll have, and it'll tell you all the different events and things that are available. So you can go on his website and take a look at past navigators, and that kind of gives you a general idea of some of the different activities that they're going to have on board the ship or that type of sailing. So you can kind of take a look at that and kind of plan your time as well.
But, ooh, that is a pro tip.
Yeah. And the one thing I think that we hear from a lot of people, and I think it just goes through Disney, just in general, is, you know, once you get on the cruise ship and you're running from activity to activity, take some time to just relax. One of my favorite things to do is to go down and walk through the lobby. There's the big atrium in the middle of the ship, and there's always something going on down there. And I think they have this thing called the Jack-Jack Diaper Dash, where they have these babies and they race them to see who's the fastest baby. But they'll have that going one day, and then they always have the princess meet and greets. And that's like one of my wife's and my favorite things to do, is just go and watching the kids kind of experience, you know, meeting these characters for the first time. And so I guess my point in all of it is, you know, find some time to breathe and just relax on it as well.
Awesome. And again, you are the DCL podcast,
Yeah. If you want to hear a little bit more, you can reach out to me, Steve, at thedclpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at DCL Podcast, on Twitter at DCL Podcast, and of course, wherever podcasts, from Apple Podcasts to Stitcher to Spotify, we're on all those different places. And if you have any questions, feel free, you know, reach out to us. If we don't know the answer, you know, there's been somebody in our community that we've kind of built up over the years that we can ask, and we'll get those answers for you. You know, we just have a good time talking Disney Cruise Line, and kind of like your show, Chad, you know, getting different people's experiences, and you can learn a lot from them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Stephen.
It's been a pleasure, Chad. And I look forward to, maybe we'll see you down at the Run Disney event in January, and definitely on the cruise next summer.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be there in January for the Run Disney?
Yeah, we're doing the half marathon, or my wife and I are doing the half marathon. So we'll watch for you to pass us by.
Oh, awesome. So I'll pass you by on a gondola from the Riviera, because that's where I'm staying. Okay.
Touche, touche. I love it.
Or maybe I can call you to rescue me if it gets stuck again, right?
Too funny.
Always good to have friends there.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much, Chad. It's just been a hoot talking to you today.
Okay. Thanks, Stephen.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Well, that puts another episode in the books, and I'd like to thank Turbo Redneck for this 5-star iTunes review. This podcast is so layered. On the surface, it's people sharing their compelling personal DVC stories and journey. Underneath, there are so many tips you can learn by listening to people's preferences. The perfect balance of storytelling and good info. Thank you so much for that 5-star review. It helps our show enormously. Helps iTunes and other platforms start to come back in and share our show out and recommend us to other listeners. I'd also like to thank DVC Resale Market and Vacation Club Loans for sponsoring today's show. I'd also like to thank our Patreon group over at patreon.com/mydvcpoints. The November Patreon episode is going to be all about maximizing the wait list, how you can leverage information to come back in and maximize your chances of getting the room you want on the wait list. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.